The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing?
Testies?
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
Nah, nigga.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Put your balls in time.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit.
I like China.
Work with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Warning. Explicit content. This broadcast may include several fucks, cunts, farts, and shits. Listener discretion is advised or something.
Welcome back to Planet Retard. Guess what? It's both of us today. Yes, me and Jen. Cheers for yourself.
Yes.
Have you been talking about how I haven't been on?
No, I just always mention who the hosts are every time.
And it hasn't been me or Ben for a while.
I said Jen.
Yeah, my voice is gone, sort of, but I am here.
So it happens after a long weekend of Labor Day karaoke and about 47 beers.
Each.
Yeah, no, that's a single count. But yeah, welcome back. I did want to mention we, for some reason, are dropping reviews and ratings on iTunes again. And it's strange because Spotify is actually going up, iTunes is going down. And it's not just removing ratings like we've mentioned before, but it's also removing reviews. So unless you fucks are going in there and deleting your reviews for some reason, something is strange. So you can just help us by doing that. I'm not even saying it's iTunes thing. I don't even know. It could be some techie thing that I have no idea about. I don't know.
Every time someone updates their phone, a podcast loses a review.
Is that what it is?
No, I don't know.
Oh, could be. Well, we'll get into some news if I can figure this out. Hey, I had it set up this time, so it's much easier. Yay. All right, so first story tonight is an elderly Romanian woman used amber nuggets worth over $1 million as a doorstop for decades. This is such an old Romanian lady thing to do, if you know anything about Romanians. So on the screen for the audio listeners, this big-ass chunk of amber, which apparently is very expensive. I didn't know that. It's one of the largest known amber nuggets in the world, valued at around £1 million, not dollars, has been found in the home of an elderly woman in Romania. The woman who found the 3.5-kilogram stone in the bed of a stream in a village in the southeast of the Eastern European country, used it as a simple doorstop for decades without anyone realizing its value, not even the jewel thieves who broke into her home. The information has been confirmed to El Pais, director El Pais. I don't know what that means. Some dude.
I think that's the what you're reading from.
Oh, it is.
The
wow.
Periodical right. You're reading from.
The extraordinary fossil resin caught the eye of a relative of the homeowner who died 2 years after the fall of the communist dictatorship in 1989. Having inherited what he first considered to just be a rock, he examined the piece of amber more closely and deduced that it could be a semi-precious stone of great value. And he was right. He sold the unique find to the Romanian state, which promptly classified the piece as a national treasure.
That poor lady. I mean, maybe she didn't care. It sounds like she just lived a simple life, picked up a rock.
Is she dead?
Yeah, wasn't she the homeowner? And he inherited the place?
Okay. Oh, yeah, 2 years. Died 2 years after. Okay.
Yeah, so she didn't even get to understand its value.
I mean, it worked for what she was using it for, so.
She had true happiness, though. She didn't need that money.
She read the book, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
The Subtle Art.
Subtle art, yes. Very subtle. Using an amber stone as a doorstop for decades. Polish experts immediately confirmed the authenticity of the amber stone and estimated that could be between 38.5 and 70 million years old.
Okay.
Sure. Its discovery represents a great significance both at a scientific level and at a museum level, explains Kostasze, who believes that the value is incalculable. The expert claims that it is one of the largest pieces in the world and the largest of its kind. Not if you watch Fringe. You ever seen how big those fucking slabs of amber are on Fringe? There's people in there.
Yeah, that's why amber is so valuable.
It's probably way fucking bigger ones.
You have to freeze yourself in it so that, I don't know, what do they freeze themselves in it for? I can't even remember. That show is so good, but I can't remember the significance of amber.
If you haven't watched Fringe.
Yes, great, watch great. All
if
of
you
it,
like sci-fi. It's a classic now, too, at this point, which is weird because I remember watching episodes when they came out. How old I am. All right. So, yeah, maybe check out your doorstops and see if they're worth something. I guess nobody knew until...
Check out your grandma's doorstops.
Yeah.
No one's using doorstops now.
Yeah, I don't have a doorstop.
No
shit. Not a single one. So this is something, I think, credit to Herman from Holland, who is my Dutch news agency, along with OBDM's. So OBDM might cover this. I don't know. And it's from the Daily Telegraph. And it was just from the other day, but for some reason, the link is from archive.org or the Wayback Machine. So I don't know if it's already been taken down. I didn't check on that. But Northern... New South Wales lawyer Carl Edwards has conviction for failing to leave licensed premises during COVID quashed in court. And this is kind of huge just because it's Australia and they're pretty totalitarian, especially right now. So a prominent New South Wales defense lawyer turfed out of a Tweedhead sports bar during the COVID pandemic, insisted he did nothing wrong, and a court has granted his appeal. He's 65, represented himself when he appeared before this judge in Lismore District Court on Tuesday. He fought a conviction for failing to leave a licensed premises during coronavirus restrictions. He was at the First on Wharf Tavern at Twin Towns Club near the Queensland NSW border, with his wife and friends sharing drinks in October of 2021. He was asked to leave the premises by bar manager Paul Tyler. The court heard the worker claim Mr. Edwards exclaimed, "Not this fucking shit again." Good for him. When asked to put on a face mask at the bar, Mr. Edwards handed over a mask exemption, but was ordered to leave for allegedly swearing and abusing staff, a claim he has denied. He said, "Not this fucking shit again." That's technically swearing, but you're allowed to do that. He's an adult. Solicitor said he believed Mr. Taylor had it in for him due to a previous incident when he did not have the correct mask exemption and was convinced the staff member would act as he did previously. Mr. Edwards said, "When I realized I did not have the correct letter from my doctor, he said I swore at him. Somebody does use bad words, but certainly not me." Okay, so maybe he didn't say that. The court heard Mr. Taylor could not recall when Mr. Edwards used the explicit language. How convenient. But he said the lawyer generally exclaimed fuck a lot.
So what, though? Is
every
that a
other
crime?
Aussie does, too.
I know, but so do people. Is fuck a crime? Is saying fuck a crime at this point? If you're abusing someone and screaming in their face, but just saying like, "Oh, this fucking shit's ridiculous." That's just dumb. I mean, I guess you can ask someone to leave for whatever reason.
On actual bullshit, like, you have to have a piece of paper saying you don't have to wear a mask. Oh, fuck yourself.
I mean,
I'd
be saying devil's advocate, too. They didn't think it was bullshit. It would be the same as if someone said, "I don't want to pay for this." And they said, "Well, you have to." And they said, "Well, that's fucking bullshit." Obviously, they're going to be at odds. But either way, you're getting mad at someone for swearing at that point. That's really grasping at straws.
In some states here, you'd probably get the cops called immediately because of feelings being hurt. Mr. Edwards told the court Mr. Taylor's evidence was exaggerated. What he really said was...
"What up, retarded faggots?"
Taylor forgot to play that at the beginning, sorry. "Why would I draw his attention to a prior incident when... Why would I sneak in and try to use my wife's doctor's letter?" Mr. Edwards said Mr. Taylor was simply really annoyed and had the correct exemption at the time. The judge said at one stage, "We're not delving into sovereign territory, are we?" Because they hate that shit, probably especially in Australia. The prosecution argued Mr. Taylor is not able to read the exemption because Mr. Edwards is swearing and carrying on. Oh, so, but they say there are lots of people there not wearing masks, but Edwards is the only one at the bar not wearing a mask. Oh. That's probably because he needs his mouth hole for drinking, as you do at bars. The judge said the most crucial point was the alleged swearing.
There we go. That the most crucial point is the swearing. It's about wearing a mask, which was the biggest deal during COVID.
That's why they kicked him out for sure.
Now they're like, ooh, it's the swearing. Okay.
So he left the bar, blah, 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 blah. The judge said Mr. Taylor did not seem dishonest, but his evidence had inconsistencies. Mr. Edwards' appeal is granted and the conviction set aside in a sedate way, which is not consistent with someone who had been swearing and abusive. I think that line was put in at a weird spot. Anyway, so it was, he got off on it. So good. I'm glad he took it all the way to the court just to be like, fuck you. Sorry, that was more of a Scottish accent. So taking a page from Cunt's book, that would be Ryan and Ghost over at Cunt. And I know you guys have heard us on there several times. Maybe this isn't one of them. I think this one had a... Oh, does it not have a video? Maybe it's the other
one. What did you want a video of? They're talking about pooping somewhere.
I know, it's another poop story, okay? Fuck off. This was in... an arenal hotel. What? Yeah. Oh, it's in Germany. That's why. So on Sunday, the national police arrested two 20-year-old male German tourists who had caused damage to their hotel in arenal, parentheses, Palma. That explains it. They and their respective partners had arrived at the Leblon Hotel on Saturday. By the time of their arrest, they had destroyed a mattress, damaged furniture, let off two fire extinguishers, and defecated in the hotel lift, aka elevator for everyone in America. The hotel finally called the police and the two denied everything. Did they do a DNA sample, though? They were arrested and nonetheless spent a night in the cells and appeared in court on Monday. The court released them after they had both paid 500 euro bails. This equated to the cost of the damage caused.
So they just went out and pooped all over?
It's Germany. They're really into that, and they were at a hotel. So they're probably doing a little...
We're in America. Stop. We cannot shit on other countries. We're in America where people do anything, anywhere, anytime, just because they fucking watch it.
I know. Germans are known specifically for poo-poo stuff. I don't know why.
I would argue that Americans are as well, but okay. Sure.
I don't know. I've never had a neighbor that pooped on stuff. Well, it was in the lift, though, in the elevator, so maybe they were not doing it for sexual reasons.
Who knows? Gross, though.
Let me find the one. Okay, here's the one. I wanted to play a clip. That's what I was talking about with the cunt stuff. So they play clips a lot, and I wanted to play this one because it's a weird AI robot that apparently OpenAI is putting out, the one that did ChatGPT. So not only do we have a large language model, but it's inserted into a human-shaped thing.
Perfect. And just what the world needs right now.
Yeah, and what they were going at, and if you can look this up if you're listening on audio, but it's really strange. The face looks like one of those LED masks. It doesn't have features. It's really creepy. And what they were really saying in this video is, look how lifelike its movements are. And I will give it to them. It's a lot smoother than a lot of them, but yeah, I'll just let you watch the video and see what you think. It's about 30 seconds, I think, of the actual... There's some dude commenting on it and then the actual clip, so... And there's no fucking sound. Are you shitting me? Hang on. Why is there no sound? I think I fixed that before we got in here.
I found a clip of a guy who... He bought a mask for $1,000 and it was like a real skin... face mask, not real skin obviously, but it looked very, very realistic, and he put it on just to do this clip, and it's pretty wild. He puts whole thing over his face, and you can see like the eyes where there's a little bit of a...
Was that the one he's a black dude? He's doing blackface?
No. He just looks very different, and he puts this whole thing over himself, and it has, you know, like a shelf for the shoulders, so he puts a shirt on, puts a hat on, and then he puts glasses on to kind of cover the eyes, and he has like a full goatee. It looks very realistic.
No, the hyper-realistic masks are fucking creepy. Why can't they just throw one of those on these robots? Why do you gotta have a digital ass looking face? All right, I think I fixed the sound, so let's try this again.
So today, we finally got the long-awaited demo from the brilliant minds at 1X Robotics, a company focused on physical embodiment for AGI and one that is backed by the infamous OpenAI. So what you're about to see is the 1X Neo Beta. It's going to be a 30-second clip that allows you to visualize not only how advanced this robot truly is in terms of its movement and agility, but what the future of humanoid robotics is going to look like.
So they just play music during this part, so I'm going to talk over it, but it looks, it weirdly looks like a dude in a bodysuit with a mask and stuff on. And it's only a 30 second like trailer, and it doesn't show it talking or interacting. He just picked up a bag, and now he's looking at his hands because he's like, what the fuck are these?
Because it's AI.
And then he calls the chick over and he gives her like a side hug and then waves at the camera. That's it. And it's called 1X. You got to name it X. Everything has to be named X.
This is a 13
So there you have it. The video. First 30 seconds that I think truly shows us what the future might look like in terms of humanoid robotics. The reason that I believe this demo is probably one of the most outstanding demos I've seen in my entirety of robotics so far is because of the fluidity of this robot. Namely, one of the first things that I've seen many individuals on Twitter actively discussing is the fact that this robot is arguably one of the only ones where many people are debating whether or not it's actually a human inside the suit. And I would say that that is most likely the biggest compliment that you could probably get for someone who works at 1X Robotics, because if people are discussing how much this looks like a human to the point where they don't even believe that it's a robot, I would say that they've done a completely fantastic job. So,
yeah. I mean, if that's what they're doing, like for the trailer, if that's what they're using as an actual human and they're trying to like still get it down to that point, then okay. But it didn't really do anything amazing. If they were just looking at the body language of it, it's like, okay, how long did that take you to get that? It didn't talk. Doesn't have a fucking face. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's uncanny valley, but I think it's pretty cool for what they're trying to do. I don't like the idea of having robots walking around that maybe look a little bit too human, because they could get integrated with humanity way too easily. The girl looks a little bit afraid when the thing hugs her, though. She's kind of pulling away a little.
She's like, don't grab me by the pussy.
She's probably thinking, don't squeeze me to death.
Don't touch
just
my...
Just in case.
Don't touch my boobs.
It looks at its hands. Titties.
Huh?
Nothing. It's fine.
But it makes me think that there's probably robots out there that actually are way more human, especially like Jen was talking about those masks. If they can do that with a dude and make it look that real, then why not with this? Like, this looks like an 80s idea of what a robot would look like in the future. It's kind of outdated looking.
I think because they have to ease us into it. They're not just going to come out with this amazing looking robot, because then tons of people will say, wow, you've had this technology clearly forever, which they very well could have, but they're not going to give us that.
Yeah.
They're like, meanwhile, Joe Biden's been a robot for fucking 5 years or whatever. Just kidding.
So it did show it doing a couple more things in the kitchen. Make me a steak and then I'll want one. No, I'll still want to cook my steak myself.
It kind of looks like a ninja. I want to see what it does.
Yeah, let's play this. Let me scroll here.
Look, it's doing chores. It's like, I'll do the dishes for you. It's going to make every woman want one.
Neo. So what we can see here is the 1X Robotics Neo gracefully navigating a kitchen dishwasher and, of course, unloading the dishwasher with smooth fashion. Now, what we need to notice here is Neo's actual precision when completing these tasks. When Neo is grabbing the glasses and when he actually grabs the cabinet doors, we can see that there is a really nice level of precision that leads to full task completion. Now, later on in this short demo, one of the things that I really liked was we did get to see Neo interacting with certain objects that require a level of delicacy and precision that mimics the subtlety of human touch. Robots must be capable of exerting the, you know, just right amount of force and not too much force. Because if it's too much force, it's going to crush the egg. And if it's too little force, then it's going to drop the egg. So
Yeah, that's pretty. It's pretty impressive if it is an actual robot. It does have this weird little like antenna tail looking thing hanging off of the back. That made me think: how long is the battery life on this?
Or it's tethered so that it can't charge at you. You can escape it freely. Also, why is it called Neo?
I was going to bring
that
up too.
That's so strange.
It has one X. You got to have the X, SpaceX, X, all the X's, and then Neo on top of it, like the one.
Like as if it's woken up from the robot world and is here in the human world.
It's like, no, that was way better back in the robot software world. I don't want to be 3D. It does make me think, like, how far have they come with battery technology? Like, does this have to be charged for, like, 8 hours before you can use it for 3 hours? And how much is he going to get done in 3 hours? Maybe a lot. He's a robot.
This is just the, this is the beta. The battery life will get better with each model. And then they'll do planned obsolescence and you'll have to upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Just like
obviously.
With iPhones.
They're going to charge you, like, $50,000 for this thing. And it's like, it can make you one meal every 12 hours. And it can also touch your eggs. And put glasses away. And I get it. It's just the beta version. Or whatever. It says it's finally here. But I haven't done enough due diligence to see if you can actually like order one from Amazon yet. And you'll probably need a subscription to it too. You know that's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be a lease thing. And when it runs out of batteries or needs a new battery, you're going to need...
It's going to have to be attached to your house.
And your phone, it's going to be directly, you know, everything. You're probably going to have to put a chip in your brain so you can hear it talk to you telepathically.
How about just don't buy one, everyone? Just do not buy one of these.
No, I'll let everybody beta test it first. Like, but I'm waiting 20 years on this technology before I even consider
it. Let's just hang out with humans. We can all do this stuff. We don't need machines to do things for us.
Yeah, you can just get your kids to touch your eggs and put your glasses away.
Put your fucking dishes away. Teach your kids how to clean and do things. I don't know, not just clean, but... garden, a farm, build houses, do work, do something. Don't just sit back. What are humans going to be doing while this robot is doing everything? What?
Getting fatter?
Yeah, sitting on our phones.
Stuffing.
Watching what the robot's doing, just staring at it on the couch.
Stuffing Pringles down your fucking neck. And just
not a fan.
Where subscriptions are good, though, and we got to bring them up. Magic Mind. And this month, okay, so we had the trial last month, but if you didn't get in on that, you can still save a lot of money. It's up to 48% off if you do the subscription, and the reason that is because it lowers it down to about $3 a bottle, which is actually, you know, like we said last time, cheaper than your fucking Starbucks or your Red Bull that you drink 3 times a day. You know who you are. And it's got way better stuff in it than Red Bull or anything else, too. It's got all the lion's manes and the cordyceps and the rhodiola. And these are things you should look up by yourself, too. Don't take my word for it. Look up ashwagandha. My friend told me about that like 6 or 7 years ago, and I got a little extract bottle of it. It works great. So in conjunction with everything else, it really, it's like an upper that doesn't make you all jittery or weird. And it actually, you know, makes your brain work better. And, well, I mean, they call it the mental performance, and it's got vitamins as well and turmeric and a bunch of other good stuff that just helps you out. And it doesn't have a bunch of sugar or aspartame or a bunch
of
caffeine.
Caffeine that's in it. Yeah. It's when I quit drinking coffee and started taking Magic Mind, it was amazing. And as I've said numerous times, every time I take it, I don't quit my job that day. And I'll give, am I allowed to give some away?
What, of our personal stash?
Yeah. So, just for our listeners, if someone wants to write, I want to hear stories of people's horrible jobs, and I'm going to give, like, 5 bottles to the person who has, like, the shittiest job, just so that you don't quit. And I want to hear the stories of how Magic Mind helps you during your day. I just do, because I hate my job so much, and when I take Magic Mind, I find ways to love it. And I know a lot of people are going through, you know...
shitty jobs.
Yeah, shit jobs where they just can't deal with it. Or even if you get to work from home, air quotes, it's not even that fun because you're still kind of tethered by Teams and Outlook and all of, and you know, having a camera on you at all times watching you. It's almost worse working from home sometimes. So I want to hear people's shitty stories, and I'll send you Magic Mind.
There you go. You heard it here. First person. Email us. Or leave a review, but make it 5 stars. I did want to mention too, but yeah, the subscription is the way to go. We get the subscription box every month and we split it between me, Jen, and Ben.
I've actually had all of Ben's this month.
Oh, it's okay. We'll give them more. But the Magic Mind very graciously sent me one of their sleep elixir shots too. And oh my sweet Jesus, I had the craziest dreams the first night I took it. And I'm not blaming it or attributing it to Magic Mind, but I was sober as shit. Took a Magic Mind, went to bed, and had the most HD 4K dreams you've ever heard about, which you don't want to hear about dreams anyway, but it was crazy. That was my experience, and I slept like a fucking baby. And that one doesn't have any melatonin or anything, but maybe we'll do a deal on that soon, but for now, I think the promo code only works on the Mental Clarity one. And again, that promo code is LegitBatPod20, and their link will be in the notes. It is magicmind.com/LegitBatPod20 as well. And that is LegitBatPod20. Got it right. Yeah. Anyway, go there. Check them out. Thanks, Magic Mind. Thanks for supporting the show. What do we have next? This one. Yes. I don't know what this first word is. Maharashtra?
It's, Maharashtra?
I don't know. What is that?
I don't know what that means.
Me either. But it says that and then a colon. Underwear gang steals gold worth almost $6,000 with some bananas in Nashik. I have no idea. Oh, is it from India, it looks like, maybe? Nashik.
Sounds like a state and city in India, possibly.
Yeah.
Or somewhere, I don't know.
But you have phones, you can Google shit. An unusual incident from this place has left the locals shocked. A group of few men were seen breaking into a home and a college in Malajian late at night. But this was not the bizarre part. All men were found roaming in underwear and are now known as the underwear gang.
Balls.
That's unusual there. That's so funny. That's like any sort of frat activity in America. Let's go streaking. Like they're just being stupid teenagers.
Well, and men. Like on Home Alone, like, oh, we're the sticky bandits now, or the wet bandits. They're just doofuses that are like, oh, we're the underwear gang now. It's exclusive.
Did they break anything? Did they hurt anything?
So the incident occurred late at night on Monday, September 2nd, when a CCTV camera captured these unusual thieves wearing vests and underwear. At least they had vests on, breaking into the premises. Soon, okay. The group of these men was named the Chatty Banayan Gang, which means underwear vest gang, in the locality where the incident happened. The gang dressed up in minimal clothing entered a home and a college, twofer, why not, in the area and stole around 70 grams, looks like,
I
70
doubt it.
Grams, GM.
Something.
Worth almost $6,000, and also picked some bananas with them on their way back. This is 100% an AI story. Unless they have the actual video, we'll see.
I don't know. It's foreign. I don't know.
Maybe it's just a bad English translation. Members of the gang typically commit crimes wearing underwear and sometimes carry sharp weapons to scare their targets. It's not clear if the multiple groups committing such robberies are connected to one big gang or if the underwear attacks are just a modus operandi to mislead investigators. The gang theft in that place comes shortly after multiple cases of thefts were reported by a gown gang. This gang was caught on security cameras dressed in women's gowns and targeting residential neighborhoods. Several homes in that place were targeted last week by the gown gang, seen armed with sharp weapons also. And they stole money from the donation box in a temple. Good for them.
Yes.
The gown gang and the underwear vest robberies have created fear among residents. In one such unusual incident, a robber gang from Noida became the talk of the town when they broke into homes, cooked fritters in the kitchen, chewed pan, like the bread, and then took off with valuables. In July this year, more than a dozen homes were targeted by these gangs of culinary-inclined robbers. This is the most weirdly worded fucking article. And really, there's that many weird-ass gangs in this place? You want to look up if Nashik is a real place? We should. Let's see. Let's ask Google, aka Brave Search Engine. Is she? Oh yeah. So it is. Okay. Well, that part's true. It's just weird, and they don't have the video, from what I can tell. Why? Why don't you have the video? That would be. I mean, they have a screenshot of it. Can't really tell they're wearing underwear and vests. It just looks like people with circles on them. This is why it's Planet Retard. All right, what's next? Oh, this one does have a video. Yay. I knew I had a couple of videos in here.
Is there a video of this actually happening, though?
Yeah, they actually show like the CCTV thing on there. But this is from America, so obviously it's better produced and actually have a video. So it's New York shoplifters raid Macy's using children. I'm saying, hey, whatever it takes to put these corporations out of business. All right, here's the clip.
Well, it is just shameful. Adults using kids to commit burglaries, and it's all caught on camera. Several businesses say they got hit by an organized crime ring.
Yeah, so these large groups basically.
So shoplifting in New York, that's not exactly new. But what is new are the bizarre methods some thieves are now using to steal from places like Macy's. And while in-store security at a place like this is nothing to scoff at, a theft ring from Brooklyn was just busted using one of the worst shoplifting tactics ever imagined. Stealing with the help of children.
Deputies say the couple is using the infant as well as a towel to conceal items before placing them into a bag that the mother is carrying.
Yeah, so these large groups basically come in, distract small business employees, then they make off with all the goods.
It's like a organized family, you know, crime using children to make money for themselves is alarming.
That's definitely a scary thing to think about.
We found hundreds of boxes of stolen items. Approximately $212,000 of the alleged stolen merchandise came from Macy's.
From 2017 to 2023, larceny offenses rose by more than 50% in the city.
This surveillance video shows a man on a mission. He walks into Victoria's Secret. He helps himself to the items on a counter, then walks right out without paying.
They're coming in and they're just ripping through the entire counter. And so we're trying to keep things safe.
Investigators say this couple not only used their children to help conceal and, in fact, take some of the items that were shoplifted, they also took items that did not necessarily benefit their family.
Called kleptomania. Anyway, that's a really...
It's not Facebook Marketplace. They're just taking things that they can resell. They're not trying to use them at home.
And they're using props. They're kids. I mean, they're kids. Let them.
No. That what? I'm just fucked up.
Okay, that reminds me. Last one of these we did... Well, I did. I talked about, you know, getting rid of cat poop in your yard by shooting the cat with a BB gun, and some knob on YouTube had to say, "Oh, what a stand-up guy, shoot the cat with it." It was a joke, dude. Just like most of this.
Sometimes you say your jokes very seriously, though.
Yeah, it's called deadpan, dry, whatever.
I mean, you have to be more like Anthony Jeselnik then.
No, I'm not a comedian.
Okay.
Just a dude that says stupid shit. Yeah, it was a joke, though, dude. You're probably not watching anymore. Fuck off.
Yeah, I think everyone knows, don't use your kids to steal shit, but...
Yeah, and if you think that I was serious about that, I mean, then you need to figure your own shit
calm
out.
Calm down,
that's on
bro.
You.
Okay, what's next?
Oh, I'm totally calm. World War I hand grenade mistaken for potato found in Chinese chips factory. Good thing they didn't cut into that one. The century-old grenade was still functional, and Hong Kong police had to quickly detonate the device in an abandoned alley. Did you have to, though? I think they just wanted to. The automated machinery in a potato chip factory in Hong Kong was unable to process one particular spud, and overseers quickly realized why. Somehow, a German-made World War I hand grenade had found its way into the company's supply shipments. Somebody on a farm was taking the piss. You know what I mean? He just dropped it in there and was like, "Let's see what happens." And it was apparently live, so that's cool too. The century-old device had a rusty, mud-covered exterior, with its innards still very much capable of causing a dangerous blast. Built for Germany's combat efforts in the Great War, the grenade was reportedly harvested alongside potatoes in France and shipped to Hong Kong's Calbee Four Seas Company with the rest of the vegetables. So maybe it was just in the ground and they just... I mean, they probably use automated shit, right, to harvest potatoes?
Maybe, so, or maybe it's people. I have no idea, but according
to
the article...
I'd like to think it was some French dickhead that dropped it in
but
there.
But they just... I like to think that they just organically picked it up with all the potatoes, slammed it into the truck, and was like, okay, we're good. And then the truck just dumps it into this boat and it's just bouncing around totally fine the entire time, almost gets cut. And they're like, oh, damn, this isn't a potato.
I mean,
but then they detonate. There's actually a video of them detonating it.
If you've ever watched like a food documentary, you don't realize like things that you eat like that, there's a lot of like corn or taters or anything like that that people eat a shitload of. The things they put onto supply chain trucks and everything else, there is so fucking much of it. Just up here where we are, you see a semi going down the road and it's got an entire semi fifth wheel worth of just garlic in it. And that's just
one
truck. Or tomatoes,
yeah.
So I could see, especially when you have automated stuff where it would just get picked up like anything else. And the fact that it was still live is pretty cool. Let's read on. The Hong Kong police force quickly deemed the device in an unstable condition. It lasted through being harvested and put onto a truck and shit. Come on. And was ordered to a high-pressure water firing technique to safely explode the century-old grenade in a sewer grate in an empty alley.
Yeah, let's watch it.
Oh, Hong Kong. Yeah, we'll watch the video after this. Since the grenade had not blown up at the time it was thrown, there was an immediate danger that needed to be handled right away. Again, it was harvested and put into a bunch of shit before it got there.
I know, I love that. That's what I love the most about this.
So it's a 2.2 pound explosive war device, while nearly five times as heavy as a potato. Certainly close enough inside to a spud to be accidentally included in the harvest. So it's, I don't know if it shows an actual picture of it, but I think World War I grenades were those kind of like weird looking round ones. Did they even have pins? Like, I don't know. Let's watch this video of them detonating it though. And so it's just a fast forward of it. Wow. So apparently,
that definitely could have wrecked someone's day though.
Oh yeah. Apparently in Hong Kong, when you have a live grenade, you just chuck it down a little sewer grate and hope everything,
fine,
nobody's
put it in
down
the water.
There. Hopefully there's no Ninja Turtles or like mole people down there. Yeah, but I think that's about it. So recently the Hong Kong police force itself defused 3 1,000-pound American-made bombs from World War II. Thousands had to be evacuated that night as the device was discovered at a construction site in Wancha. So apparently you find a lot of stuff over there. I guess they do have protocol for getting rid of it, though. Sewer drain.
Oh, wait. Go down all the way to the bottom. It talks up a little to the end of the article. It says, I don't know what mechanical means the plant uses to scoop up the potatoes, but I imagine they don't routinely run magnet detectors through potatoes. So that's how it was possibly overlooked in the beginning.
That's weird, because I know in a lot of factories they actually do that because of the machines like grating metal from gears and all that shit into the food. And they actually do run it through magnets that try to like scoop out as much of that as they can. But even if, maybe not in Hong Kong, but even with, bless you.
Thank you.
Even with that, like you're ingesting a lot of shards of metal all the time. Probably even if you're growing it in your own backyard. Who knows?
Possibly.
What else do we have? Oh, Nashik. That's one. Okay. So I think it's the last one. Is it a listicle? You sent me this one.
It's just a couple things for Arizona, for Ryan, and all of our friends in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Ryan. Not
and
Ghost.
Corey.
He's from Pensiltucky. And Corey. Do we know anybody else in Arizona? I don't think so.
One of my coworkers. We have a few friends there.
Oh, you know what? My aunt and uncle live down there. Sorry. They don't listen. Arizona lands on weird fair food list for a wild snack we didn't even have.
That's like a Captain Crunch chicken sandwich. If you look up at that, so go scroll up to the picture.
I'm digging this.
All right.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah, it's Captain Crunch with crunch berries on a fried chicken sandwich. I'm not sure what the sauce is, if it's candy or if it's ketchup. But
that might be good.
Yeah, it doesn't, I don't know. I would try it at a fair for sure.
Yeah, I just fucked up. Yeah, give me the Captain Crunch chicken sandwich.
Then go on some rides.
State fair season is just around the corner. This must be an older article. Oh no, it's from August. Weird. And that means it's almost time to dive into the thrill of carnival rides, fun-filled shows, and lively animal competitions. But let's be real. The best part of the fair, the food. I would say the beer. Except that it's like $12 a piece. And Arizona has And Arizona has is on woman. What? Food, of course. And Arizona has is. Anyway, Women's World List of the Weirdest Fair Foods. What did we get cited for? Scorpions on a stick. The rest of the country thinks we're out here snacking on scorpions like it's no big deal. While this might play into the stereotype that Arizona is just one big scorpion-infested desert, well, it kind of is. Here's the kicker. Scorpions on a stick haven't been on the Arizona State Fair menu in quite some time. Well, they used to. It's not anymore.
Just 13 years ago, they said. That's not that long ago. They That's were a long time when you live in Arizona.
I'm glad we can rag on another state this time instead of Florida.
I'm not ragging on Arizona. I think it's cool that they're eating this weird shit, but scorpions on a stick, I'm not going to try it. If anyone has tried it, please let us know in the chat.
Yeah, why not? So a spokesperson, not woman, because we don't want to assume her gender, for the Arizona State Fair, who said around 13 years ago, we had a vendor selling scorpions on a stick. They also sold mealworm burgers and other types of bugs. Well, he'd get along great now. However, they have not been back since. Okay. So here's the wildest Arizona State Fair foods of 2023. And it's their picks. Hot Cheetos Cheesy Pickle Pizza. It's a white slice topped with pickles and fiery hot Cheetos spice.
Well, that's not that weird.
If you like pickles, I do. I would try it.
I don't know. I feel like Cheetos is a new seasoning for things.
Oh, it
Cheetos
is.
Cheetos dust, yeah.
Flaming Hot Cheetos. They must have done some like ad campaign or something because everybody's like breading their chicken with that. And
so these three things, the picks aren't that. I feel like it's something that you would make, and maybe people could actually make. It's not that out of, I don't know, out of line.
I make a lot of weird stuff depending on how many substances I've had that day. The next one is pickled tamale bites. Tamales stuffed with pickles and cheese, served with a side of nacho cheese for good measure, because it's the fair. And birria tosti elote. It's birria paired with sweet corn, butter, mayo, cotija cheese, and hot sauce, all tucked inside a Tostitos bag.
I would totally eat that.
I would fucking eat the shit out of that. As Ryan would say, I would fuck that thing in the ass. So let's look at the pictures, though, before we get out of here, just for the video watchers here. So this is the Biggie's Captain Crunch chicken sandwich with raspberry sauce.
Oh,
okay, wait, you might have lost
that
me.
That sounds
there.
Great. No way. That
with raspberry,
won me over. Ugh,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, you also like lavender flavored ice cream.
I do. It's delicious.
Indian fry bread stand. That's delicious. What are you talking about? How's that weird? And this is the hot Cheeto pickle pizza.
There you go.
Hey, I bet it's good. La Crepe, Arizona's lemony snicket crepe with lemon curd and cream. That's not
amazing.
Weird. That's the same one.
I think they're just showing all the food.
Okay. So maybe it was just those three that they were saying were fucking weird. Oh, look at Texas Donuts Mazapan con Lechera. Ooh, that looks really fucking good. This one, Agua Fresca. Okay, that's normal. Hot Cheeto Ramen.
Nice.
White Trash Chic. That same donut, same ramen, pickle pizza. Okay, I think they're just saying the same shit. Wait, what was this one? Oh, one of the turkey legs, of course, classic turkey leg. You know those things are like $20?
Oh yeah, no. Don't get one of those. Go back one before this. Oh, just Chubb's tacos. All right, those are just regular tacos.
What else would you call it besides Chubb's?
That looks like a fun fair, though. Go back a couple more, because I want to see that. There we go.
What?
Look, there's a little ride there. I want to go to a
We're
fair
at the
so
food.
Bad.
This is about the food.
All right, sorry. Rides are fun, too.
Hot Cheeto ramen. I'd probably try that. Depends on how
you've had
how much weed.
The kind of ramen that you buy is hot Cheeto ramen.
Churros with a twist, served with strawberries and whipped cream. Ooh, that sounds fucking delightful.
I don't feel like there's a twist going on there, but... It still looks delicious.
I like all of it. Give me if anybody's listening from Arizona that works at the fair, send me one of each of those.
My favorite was we used to go to a fair in Vermont, and they would have fried dough. That's what we called it. You guys call it maybe elephant ears or whatever. And they had a maple butter that went on it, and it was so delicious.
Oh, yeah. And that salty and sweet thing is they do have a point with it. I just made caramel corn last night and put salt in. Oh my God, it's delicious. It just depends on which, if it's too fruity, that's the thing I have with the raspberry sauce on chicken, like, or like what you like with cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving. Turkey. It's fruity sweet though.
You have to mix the cranberry sauce in with the mashed potatoes and the turkey and the corn and the stuffing. It's so good.
Make it one big train wreck and shove it down your neck.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's it for tonight, and we will catch you guys next time, probably in about 2 weeks. Been doing Planet Retards pretty regularly every couple weeks because it's fun and it's way less work than doing an interview.
Send us some articles or send us some of your crazy stories. We can talk about your insane stories on Planet Retard. Tell us about the biggest retard you met. Or, you know.
I should start logging mine away, actually. I have plenty of stories, like personal stories I could probably tell about this.
And tell me why you hate your job. Why is it so bad? And I'll send you Magic Mind. Or if I might send it to multiple people, too.
If you want to be on the show, too. I know we've had several listeners on now. Andrew and Corey's been on. Mike. Jesus, did we have you on, Jesus? I don't fucking remember.
Yes, we had Jesus.
Okay, it's been a while. And then, of course, Jesse and, sorry, I'm fucking with buttons here. Jesse and Daniel, the poop story. So yeah, if you want to be on the show, or just send your stories in. If you're like shy and don't want to come on a camera and talk to us, that's fine. You just email it to me. Words are easier, you snowflakes.
And join the Telegram.
Yeah, join the Telegram too. Link's always in the show notes.
Yes.
All right. Have a good night. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Farewell.
Thank you for listening to Legit Pet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.